Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want you to go with me to Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised your name? Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governor, unto your governor. Will he be pleased with you, or accept thy person? Says the Lord of hosts. Now I pray you, beseech God that will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your persons? Says the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you that will shut the door for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, that I will accept an offering at your hand. Permit me to stop at this point. You can read the rest of the book of Malachi. But this morning, the reason a reasonable service unto God, a service that is reasonable. many times we want to do many, many things. And we're involved in many, many activities. And we are preoccupied with so many, many, many things that to us we regard to be important. But I discover that God is looking at what is it that I'm doing that is reasonable to God. What am I offering? And God will see that, yes, this is a reasonable service. What am I doing in my generation? And God will regard it as a reasonable service. What am I involved in? What am I expending my life on? And when God will value it, will say, this is a reasonable service that this brother has offered. So the body that is coming on my heart this morning is to examine, no matter how short I can make it, what will be reasonable service in the eyes of God? What will you give and it will be reasonable before the Lord? I went to read Malachi chapter 1, not because I actually want to study all of that, but I saw that in Malachi, God has a taste. I found that God was protesting against his people for bringing him unreasonable service. God was protesting that if you bring a service to God that is not reasonable, it's a dishonor. He said, a son honoreth his father, and a servant honoreth his master. If then I be a father to you, where is my honor? And if I'm only your master, where is my fear? I discovered that it's not everything that people do that is reasonable to God. It's not every activity that people engage that meets God's tastes and is unreasonable to him. It's not a reasonable service. And how wonderful, how terrible it will be that a man will spend his life thinking that when he will get before God, God will say, well done. And God will look at him and say, you've been unreasonable all your life. How terrible will it be that a man will have put in all, waiting to receive reward, and the Lord will look at it and said, take it away. That's an unreasonable service. I'm not interested in it. So Malachi, God was addressing the priests and the children of Israel, and he was demanding something from their lives, which to us is only a picture of what to look for this morning. And the Bible noted And I want you all to please follow me, because I just need to do this quickly before I land where we're going to pray together. The Lord began to highlight what constitutes unreasonable service, unreasonable. He said, "You offered polluted bread on my altar." Yourself, you will not open your eyes to eat it, and you offer it on my altar. That's unreasonable. You give to me, you bring to me those things that is no more useful even in your own house. And you say, "Well, let's give it to the Lord." God looks at that and says, "That's an insult. It's unreasonable to me." He said, "And if you offer a blind animal," I didn't know that God in those days was concerned whether the animal they are bringing is completely whole and that the eyes is not blind. He said, "When you bring that kind of thing to me, what are you talking about? Go and offer that to your governor and see whether he will salute you and say thank you. Or carry it to your king, whether your king will give attention to your person at all. It's an unreasonable service to me. And if you offer the lame and the sick, the one that has lost his agility, the one that is exhausted, the one that is already crippled, the one that is no more able to run, the one that can no longer maximize his energy, and you come and drop it at my altar." Do you expect me to accept your person? So the first thing I saw as I was flipping through that was that not every offering is reasonable to God. And so not every offering is a reasonable service. And not every sacrifice will be acceptable to God, who has a taste and a standard for what he looks for. In various passages of the Word of God, you come to note that God is longing for something from the lives of his people. But he does not just take anything anyhow. The question I want us to meditate upon this morning: what will be my reasonable service to the Lord? What will I offer to the Lord? And God will say, yes, this is a reasonable service. In Isaiah chapter 66, let's go to Isaiah 66. You see God again expressing what he considers reasonable and what does not meet his taste. All of this, I said, they are the preambles for us to get to where we are going to land in prayer. Isaiah 66. Are you there already? Thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things as my handmaid, and all those things they have been, says the Lord. But to this man will I look. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. He that kills an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offers wine's blood. He that burns incense as if he blessed an idol. Yes, they have chosen their own ways, and they are so delighted in their abomination. I also will choose their delusions, and I will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. So, there are certain things that God does not regard as reasonable. There are certain things that men may even think they are doing for God that is unreasonable to him, and he does not acknowledge it as anything important. In fact, he looks at it as an insult. But here I found God pointing at something. He said, but to this man will I look. Now, before I look at that man, I was looking at the kind of things that God said, heaven is my throne, the entire earth is only my footstool. Where is the house that you will build unto me? That immediately shows me that even if we choose to build a whole house for God, even if you are the one who donated a whole church building, that may not even attract God's attention yet. He said, all these things my hand made them. All these things have been, but to this one man I will look. Who is that man? Who is that man? Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and does what? And trembles at my word. that obeys my word, that take my word seriously and does not trample on what I say to him. That's the man that attracts my attention. That's the man that I will look at and say, yes, this man is offering to me a reasonable service. All I'm doing, I'm building towards what will be a reasonable service that I need to offer to God in my lifetime. Okay, for Psalm 51, please. Verse 16 and verse 17. For thou desirest not sacrifice, or else will I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God, they are what? A broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. The sacrifices of God, they are not first rams, they are not even houses, they are not things. They are not something you can bring outside of your life. And you say, I give God this one. When your life has been taken away from his authority, is an unreasonable service. So what will be my reasonable service this morning? Would you like to go now to the Romans passage as we begin to look at that? But I need to highlight something so that as we get to pray this morning, I'm trusting that you will be doing something that is reasonable. I say I'm trusting God that you will do something that is what? Reasonable. Something that God will look at and say, now this is a reasonable service. Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, and permit me now to quickly say to you that God never demands a sacrifice from those that are not his children. The Bible says the sacrifices, even the prayers of the wicked, is what? Is an abomination to God. If you are not among the brethren, if your name is not in the book of life, if you have not turned away from the life that always antagonizes and offends God, whatever activity you are, no matter how religious it is, you are an abomination to God. God does not even look at that at all. Whatever Cain brought, God was not interested, because Cain was of the evil one. Cain's heart was a very hard heart. God even came and said to Cain, why are you annoyed? Why are you angry? If you do well, will God not have accepted you? God was saying, Cain, I don't take things
from a wrong man. I am not impressed with anything you give when your heart is hard. The sacrifices of God is that of a broken and a contrite heart. A self-willed man, an arrogant man, a wicked sinner. Both his money and his substance must perish with him. God is not interested. I beseech you therefore, with people, brethren. Please ask somebody by your side, are you a brother? Let me ask him. And if it's a sister, say, are you a sister? Are you a member of this family? Are you born again? Are you in the number? Are you in the number? Are you in the number? Saved by grace. Are you in that number? Are you in that number? Are you in that number? Saved by grace. I beseech you therefore, brethren. We can't talk of a reasonable service when you are not a brother. When you are not a sister. And if you say, yes, I am, help me ask, when? When did you become my brother? Can you ask? Let's take 1 minute. Ask somebody and say, if you say you are a brother, when did you become one? Let him tell you, when? When? It should be clear. When were you converted to become a brother? Because I know that you were born of the flesh. When? Tell us. We don't want to be presumptuous. We don't want to bring something before God and God say, who is bringing this one here? God could not look at Cain. Not because he brought yam. When pastors want to collect more money, they said, Cain was not accepted because he did not bring fat yam. Excuse me. No, sir. God has never been eating yam. So whether your yam is small or big, that's not what he looks for. He looks at the heart. There are some people here that come with fat money. And when they want to drop it, the Lord says, don't contaminate my altar with that. Say, it's big money. Say, contamination. I have rejected him. The heart that is inside him is not correct. Did you remember how Simon the sorcerer, when he saw the anointing, when he saw the way the Holy Ghost was moving, he quickly went back and wrote a check or brought a bundle of money. He said, excuse me, I want to sow into this anointing. I want to sow into this anointing that I also, whosoever I lay my hands upon, they may catapult in the spirit. Peter looked at him and said, you, a man full of bitterness, there's gall of wickedness inside of you. May you perish with what? With your money. Because you thought you can buy the gift of God with money. You know, men of old, they don't take offering anyhow. Unlike you nowadays, you go to a crusade, You see drunkard. You see those who have carried another man's wife. But you are not bothered. Once they bring money, as they are dropping on, they say, yes, I can see all over you the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. You are a liar. You are a liar. Even yourself, I don't know where you are going. God does not take any offering from the wicked. God does not collect anything from the abominable. The reason why some of you are sitting very confidently in church, because you are the one who donated the zinc over the church roof. But you are a womanizer. Your offering is unreasonable. Yes, the elders collected it and they roofed their church with it. But every time God looks at that church roof, he says, I don't want to be identified with this kind of building where it is a wicked womanizer. I say, I roofed the church for them. May the wind remove that roof in the name of Jesus. So that God can have what he can be happy with. It will never be a reasonable service if you are not a brother. If you are not a sister redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. If your heart has not been broken before God in genuine repentance, if your heart has not turned to God with trembling, if you have not understood that the greatest thing that God looks for is a heart that is open and broken before him. This morning, what will be a reasonable service? It will be a service from one who is a brother, a member of the household of God, one that is clearly born again, one that has said bye-bye to the devil, bye-bye to sin, bye-bye to wickedness, bye-bye to lying, bye-bye to hypocrisy. It will not be a reasonable service if the one that wants to offer that offering has not personally come under the authority of the cross of Jesus. This morning, therefore, I beseech you by the mercies of God, brethren, it's very, very heavy on my heart to inform you that what has weakened the ministry, what has weakened the message of the Word of God, is when men and women have made offering to God's work from a heart that has never been broken. Can you imagine how terrible it is that some even offered to become pastors, but they were never born again? They even offered to become a missionary, and they never had encounter with the man of Calvary. Some are being promoted into the high rank of church, yet they were never delivered from immorality. All such sacrifice is unreasonable to God. Whatever you are doing, singing in your church choir, being a chairman of a building church council, when your heart is not right with God, is an unreasonable service. And I call on you this morning, let's settle that. For you to be accepted and be acceptable, it must begin with who you are. It must begin with what has happened to your inner man. What has happened to your heart inside. And we dare not overlook it. I know this meeting is very urgent. God wants the lamb on the altar. But even in the midst of our urgency, the Holy Spirit said, certain offerings are unreasonable to me, and don't bring it to this altar. So this morning, if in any way you are in doubt, whether your name is written in the book of life, we must settle it now. Don't do unreasonable things. Don't invest your money in what God Himself calls unreasonable. Not your money, not your house, not your clothes, not your goods, but your very life. That must be brought and say, God, my spirit, my soul, my body, I bring to this altar, waiting for your fire to come on it. Here am I, Father. Are you in a secret relationship somewhere? Are you a member of a secret cult? But you also like to take communion in the body of Christ. The same mouth you want to use to take our own communion, you take communion with demons. What you are doing is unreasonable to God. It's a dishonor to His name. And we are at a very crucial threshold when God wants to move, when God wants to walk, when the Holy Spirit wants to do something in our generation. Let's settle that first. The sacrifices of God. What are they? They are the broken and a contrite heart. Can I go back to the passage? I beseech you, therefore, brethren. You see, when he brought the word therefore, it means that there were certain things that has happened before God could be making this kind of request. It is that the cross of Jesus has put to death our old nature. And that the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from every unrighteousness. And that we have deliberately decided to be men and women who walk in the spirit and not after the flesh. It is from such people that God did now say, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. So can I stop first? Can I stop first and ask, should I continue with this appeal this morning? Should I continue? Eh? Or should I just wait? And wait for God to sort things out. But I know there are some certain people that God wants to sort out. But there are several others that heaven had been saying, the time for you to make a reasonable service has come. So I will do two things. I'll go ahead. I will now go on speaking to those that are hearing me in the spirit. And they are saying, oh God, if I don't offer my life now, when will I do it? If I don't lay this life down now, when will I do it? Will you please go back to that verse? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? Present what? Your bodies. To present your body unto God as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's spend whatever little time we have to look at that, so that when we'll be praying, I'll be praying with that song, we'll be praying deliberately. Who has experienced the mercy of God in this meeting? Let me see. God has been merciful to you. Can I see your hand up? You can testify that the mercy of God had come to you. Can I see that hand up? All right, thank you. By the mercy of God, you have been enlightened with the word of God. By the mercy of God, you have encountered the saving grace of God. By the mercy of God, you have been delivered from the power of darkness. And by the mercy of God, your name has been written in the book of life. And by the mercy of God, you are who you are today. By the mercies of God, when your classmate was sinking, God raised you up. By the mercies of God, when your friends entered into the dungeon that finished their lives, the light shone and your life had been preserved. By the mercies of God, when you will have fallen into that sin that will have finished and crippled your testimony, God lifted you up and said no. And the mercy of God has made you who you are today. The mercy of God has made you a child of God. The mercy of God has even linked you with those who could guide you and lead you and teach you the word of God. The mercy of God has allowed you to experience the grace that sets a man free from the dominion of Satan, and you are free today. By the mercies of God, you are even filled with the Holy Ghost, and you speak in the heavenly language. By the mercy of God, not because of your merit, not because of your intelligence, not because of your money, the mercy of God has preserved and kept you. That you are a Christian today is by the mercy of God. Am I right? That you did not perish is the mercy of God. Some of you are hearing me. Remember, your classmate is a girl. When all of you were looking for who to marry, just before you will say yes to that other young man, the Lord Jesus arrested you. But your friend was not so. She went. They got married. Their marriage has scattered 5 times. But God has kept you. I still see you standing side by side with your husband. The mercy of God. Is it the mercy of God? Sometimes as you are going, you see the drunkard man that was your suitor. His life had been so scattered up till now. The woman that married him was so unfortunate. And when you saw him, you say, hey! That's the man that will have married. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And sometimes, the man came close and said, mercy. Now your face be this. He tried to remind you those old escapades. And you smile. And you call his name. Say, Sammy boy. So you are still doing the same thing. When will you repent? And he said to you, this is your ex-shooting self. I thought you have changed. And he said, I will never, never go back to the world. Never. And you dance away. The mercy of God. Your other friend could not dance away because she was caught before the word of God will come to her. You are sitting here today because the mercy of God had come to your life. Now, what does God want me to say to those who have experienced the mercies of God? What does God want me to say to you that have experienced the mercy and the grace of our God? He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, holy, uncontaminated, holy, set apart, dedicated for an assignment, holy. A living sacrifice, the kind that God will accept, because it's coming from a broken heart, it's coming from a contrite spirit, it's coming from a heart that trembles at the word of God, not the one that tramples at the word of God. Which is your reasonable service? It is only reasonable for you, my brother, to hand over this life to God. It is only reasonable for you to present it and say, now God, this my life will be your living sacrifice, bringing forth sweet aroma every day. And I'm hearing God say, that is your what? Reasonable service. I hear the Holy Spirit say, this is your reasonable service. Anything other than this will not be reasonable. Anything less than this will be unreasonable to God, and it will be unacceptable in his presence. and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this morning, will you do something that is reasonable? And permit me to remind you that it was a deliberate instruction there. Some of you will like to give God money and keep back yourself. Some of you will like to give God things as long as it does not interfere with your personal project and your personal ambition. Some of you will like to quickly, you know, silence your conscience by doing something one time bogus thing for God, so that you can escape with your life. So that you can be free to live where you want to live. And I hear God saying, all such is an unreasonable service. The only reasonable service I'm looking for is when somebody say, yes, Lord. I'm laying it at the altar. A sacrifice unto you. And for the rest of my life, I will be your living sacrifice. I will live for nothing more. And I will live for nothing else. Apart from to live the rest of these years as your sacrifice. Dedicated, holy, uncontaminated, from a broken and a contrite heart. And from there, whatever you want to do with me, you have the liberty. Whatever you want to do with me, wherever you want to send me, whatever you want to get out of my life, it will be yours. I am your sacrifice. Somebody wants to do something reasonable today. Somebody is saying, oh God, if this is the reasonable service, and whatever that will mean, I want to lay it for you. I know when we come for our Bible study, we'll soon discover that there is no other service, no other ministry that precedes this. Until this is done, nothing else can be received from your life. Until this life is laid at the altar as a living sacrifice to God, everything else is unreasonable. As I stop on that this morning, a reasonable service. My life on the altar. My body, my soul, my spirit on the altar. When a life has been so laid before God, whatever else God wants to now do with it, he does it as from what belongs to him. Maybe you have lived for 50 years serving yourself. worthy your interests. Pursuing your career because you want to make a name. You want to live well. You have been living in order to earn a living. And all that you have done, despite the mercies of God, was to give God something. Something. And God said, I'm waiting when it will be reasonable. That I don't take something, I take the life. I'm not looking for something, something outside of you. I'm looking for you. A reasonable service to God. So that every other thing that will happen, even if it is now God and say, I now want to use this, my living sacrifice, in the government office, that is his business. And it's no more your own. It's his. And if God says, yes, you have offered this to me, sit down here for me. And if that be what he wanted, that is okay. Who is going to make such a reasonable service to the Lord? We are going to pray. But permit me to do it in two quick ways. I wouldn't want to take for granted that if there be lives standing or sitting somewhere here, and everyone is saying, the first thing I'm looking for in your life is to surrender and repent from your sins and be converted. Singing in the choir is not what I require of you. I need you to be converted. Paying tithe is not the first issue I'm looking for in your life. You are an unconverted soul. You need Jesus. We will exercise a quick patience to pray that all those who are still in the shackles of the power of darkness, who are still in the gall of the bitterness of secret sin, or those who are still addicts, and those that sin continues to rule over, those that continue to be hypocrites. On the outside, people think you are all right, but inside, you are already finished. Jesus stand here and say, come to me, I will give you rest. Even though I want to use a man like you, until you have ended that issue with the devil, God cannot take anything from you. Saul was a very zealous man. He was very learned. He studied the whole book. He knew Genesis to Malachi. He was a Pharisee. He was so zealous, going everywhere, serving the religion of his fathers. Even though God said, right from his mother's womb, I have set him apart to serve me. But he could never be useful until Damascus experience. Maybe some are sitting here, God has a plan for your life, but you can never enter into that plan until you came to this Damascus experience, where sin will be broken in your life, where Satan will lose hold, where the power of darkness will be broken, and where your soul will be set free, where the blood of Jesus will be sprinkled upon you in a very deliberate way. And you will no longer be a slave and a servant of sin, but you will know the liberty of the sons of God, and you will become a brother. As soon as Saul came on the road to Damascus, and God was going to introduce him to brother Ananias, he said, "Ananias, there's a man. He's in so and so house. His name is Saul of Tarsus." Ananias said, No, sir. I have heard about him. He's a wicked man. He has been killing our people. In fact, he's coming here to kill us." God said, "That has changed. Just a few minutes ago, he's converted. And I've chosen him a vessel. And it touches me when Ananias got to the house of Saul." Do you know what he called him? What did he call him? Brother Saul. Are you a brother? Until you are born again, we can't call you brother. Sometimes I meet unbeliever friends of ours. When I want to, I say, bro. He say, "Call me also bro. I'm also a bro." I say, "You are not." What makes us brothers and sisters is a different matter. It's a life that we have encountered in Christ. As we go to God in prayer now, if you are not sure, if sin has not left your life, if Satan is still secretly your master, and if all the activities in the church, in the fellowship, is only a camouflage, you are an hypocrite in the heart, this money is an opportunity so that you can do something reasonable before you die. As I will ask us to pray, the first call I'm making this morning is for those who are saying, "I want God to use me, but I cannot become anything until he has delivered me from sin, from Satan, from the world, even from myself life." That's the first people I must pray with this morning. That's the first people I must cry to God with this morning. And it does not matter whether you are old or you are young. It does not matter whether you are popular or you are not known. What matters is that, have they known your name in heaven? Is your name there? If it's not there, what are you going to say? That you dwelt with us, you drank with us, I attended MLR. And when the roll is called up yonder, they say, "His name is not here. Check him in the other books." May it never happen. In the name of Jesus Christ. I will rise. I will ask you all to please rise and let us pray together. As we end this particular session. And what I'm asking for, the first set, I don't want everybody to come out yet. I want that person, that young man, that old man, that woman, wherever you are, you just know that the call you hear this morning is a call to deliver you from sin, to change your life, to make you a correct brother in the family of God, to make you a sister, one whose name is written in the book of life, who had been washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, who is sure that if anything happens this morning, I will not miss heaven. I will not miss heaven. And you see, you have been in the midst of people, and yet your life has not changed. Summer has passed, winter has passed, and you are still not saved. You hear preachers, yet you are not saved. And the blood of Jesus is flowing. The death he died was still holding on and said, "But for this man I died, why will he perish? Why will he be lost?" What is he trying to do when his heart is not yet broken for God? Friend, are you hearing the voice of the Master this morning? harden not your heart. Thank you, my dear friends. Thank you, dear. Thank you. Please come down. Come down. A man was a deacon in the Baptist church for many years. From 1962, he was a deacon. I met him in 1980. I said, "Are you born again?" He said, "No, I'm baptized. I'm a deacon." I said, "But all of those things has no record in heaven. When was your name written in the book of life?" Thank you, my brother. Even to be in the work of God and yet you are not a child of God is so dangerous. Step out before God and say, "Today, help my life." Thank you. If you are coming, do quick. This is the first issue. This is the first important issue for us this morning. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. If we don't settle this kind of issue, we may be speaking big things. And Satan will only laugh us to scorn and say they are not serious. How can God take what belongs to me? This boy has not yet renounced sin. How can he say he belongs to God? Thank you, friends. And there is a fountain flowing from Emmanuel's vein. And the sinner plunged beneath his flood. And they are saved to sin no more. Where immorality has crippled your life, where lying and arrogance will not let you be what God wants to be, this morning, my friends, please come. Just say, "Come to me, I will give you rest. I will give you rest from your struggle. I will give you rest from sin. I'll give you rest from your problems." Thank you. Please do quick. Step out. If you are coming here, this is the first important call we cannot allow to go. We must not make a mistake about this. If it is here you are coming, you need to move very fast because we need to conclude that now. Thank you, my friend. Don't let people call you the name that you don't have. Don't be an hypocrite. Because on that day, when the light will shine, all hypocrites, all those that are goats, but who are just pretending to be the sheep, heaven will sort them out. And that will be a terrible time. Thank you. God bless you. If it is here you are coming, let's do it quickly. Holy Spirit, please undertake for us now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's okay. I would like to pray. My friend, you won't come and hand over your life to Christ? Run. Thank you. Run quickly. You want to end this secret matter with sin? With the devil? Run quickly. Let's settle the matter this morning. Holy Spirit, please walk in this meeting. Do a deep walk. Let this day be that day, that happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Thank you, madam. Thank you, my friend. Are you coming here, dear lady? Run. God bless you. Oh, thank you, my friend. Just get on your knees if you can. My friend, is it here you are coming? Please run. Let today be that day. That day you will never forget. Madam, thank you. This is a day that you will never forget. A day when Jesus, the man of Calvary, when he steps in to change your story, to make you his own. Friend, you are coming here, you need to move fast. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Just come. Say, Lord, this is the day the Lord has made for me to make it right. In Jesus' name, we are praying. You may be very zealous wanting to become something. But if sin question is not dealt with, all those things will not go far with God. And the first thing I want you to do this afternoon or this morning, don't pretend again. Just say, just as I am. Just as I am, Lord. I have come. Secret sinner I have been over the years. I need your deliverance. I need the Redeemer. My years have been wasted. I am in a shackle I couldn't break from myself. But I'm coming to you, the Savior. Because of your blood that you shed at Calvary, I beg for cleansing. And because of your death on the cross, I plead for deliverance from my self-life. Break the power of sin. I was not born to be an offense in my generation. But sin has made me constantly an offense. This morning, Father, change my nature. Create in me a new heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Take away the hardness of my heart and the deceitfulness of sin and those things that hinder me from following your word. From this moment, oh God, circumcise my heart, that I may become a useful instrument in your hand. I would like to offer my body to you, but unless you change my nature, it cannot be acceptable. Change my nature this afternoon. Give me a new heart. Create in me a new life. And I ask you, Jesus, step into my heart. Step into my heart. And take control. You said in your word that if I confess my sins, you are faithful to forgive, to cleanse, and to clothe me with your righteousness. This is what I have come for, Lord. Help me this day. Thank you for hearing my prayer. I yield my heart to you. And from this day, 7th of December, I am free. I'm free to live for God. I'm free to serve my God. I'm free to live a holy life. I'm free to walk with God. Satan, my connection with you is cut off. I will no longer follow your instructions. Jesus, you are my Lord. And this you will be for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I have prayed. Amen. I want you to rise. I want you to rise. Please rise. All of you that have been out here, though we have a critical Bible study to do now, but yet I would like you to Odeyemi, please. Alright. We are going to quickly move out. By the time you are coming back, we'll be breaking to our school, our classes, and it will be alright. Please, is that brother allowed there? Look at the hands being waved. Let's go together that direction. Just go. And as you are going, today is a day you will put on record. It will be on record that on the 7th of December, God broke the yoke. He broke the tyranny. And you can turn this way. The rest of us can go around like this. You can go through this door. We are all meeting in the courtyard. Let's do quickly. Those that are going this way, let's do quick. Now, the rest of us, we are still praying. We still have a prayer to pray for ourselves. And we are trusting that what God is doing this morning is going to be a permanent experience. That these lives, when God captured Paul on the road to Damascus and ended that trouble, he became an answer, became a great instrument. I'm trusting God that these brothers and sisters will be a great instrument in the hand of God. Now, can we all stand as we are praying our own prayer? We are praying. We still have some 2-3 minutes to call on God. Say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And the mercy of God that appeared to you many times, God had been so gracious to you many times, and God had not kept quiet about what he wanted from your life. And this morning, the Lord is saying, present that body to God. While we're all standing in prayer, what is it that you are holding back? Oh, God will help us. What is it that will not let you move? What is it that is a blockage for you to lay down this life, this body, and say, Lord, not half and half, not bit by bit, I want to give my life to you. We're going to take that song, and as we're singing it, permit me to let you respond to God by yourself. You want to respond to God, either you want to raise your hand, or you also want to step out to God on the altar today and say, Lord, my body, my spirit, my soul, nothing will I withhold again. If this is the reasonable service, this what I can do and it will be reasonable before you, please take it, Lord. Take it, Lord. If you are not going to be tied to the altar for God, if it's not a total surrender, if it is not a complete handing over, whereby you will no longer be the administrator, but the Lord will be the administrator. If it is not a complete giving over, where you are now saying, Lord, administer my life anyhow. Whatever you want. Right, James, can you help me raise that song now? Whether in French or in English or in Tiv language, we sing that song, and I trust
my spirit, soul, and body I give unto you, Lord. I offer my body to you, ever to be
that song. We are praying, we are saying it to the Lord. Just go ahead, whatever you want to do this afternoon to the Lord. A reasonable service. A reasonable service. It is not reasonable if it is not given over to God. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Waiting for God to set this life on fire. Are you saying, Lord, my life on the altar for you? My body. If this is the only reasonable thing I must do, come and take it, oh God. Oh, yo, yamchi. Oh, Where are you? Where are you, my friend? If you cannot find a space at the altar, can you stand up and lift the hands and say, God, I surrender it. Let your fire come on my life. You will have liberty to administer me anywhere, anywhere, anyhow, anytime, for any purpose. Oh Lord Jesus, your mercy has come unto me. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord, say, oh God, only for your fire I wait now. Only for your fire, whatever you want to do with my life. Whatever you want to do with this life. Wherever you want to go with my life. I lose ownership from this morning. Take ownership of my life. You are the administrator and the governor of this life from now. I lay my ambition on the altar. I lay my personal project on the altar. Lord, have your way. Use me as it pleases you. If you stretch your two hands to God again in prayer, you have stood before God and you are saying, Lord, this life I'm offering to you. I'm not going to take it back again. Tie me, O Lord, to the altar until I become what you want me to be. Those two hands lifted to God in prayer. And we just sing that chorus only. Just the chorus alone. Your body total is on the altar of sacrifice. Wait, wait, wait. Waiting for thy fire. Your child
is on the altar of sacrifice.
Yes, choir, you can sing it. You can sing it while we are praying. Holy Spirit, from this morning, Lord, begin to do your deep work in this place, oh God. Begin to do your deep work now. You will have this life. You will have this life. They will become that aroma you are looking for. They will become the answer to this generation. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Whether you are the Francophone or you are saying to God, take my life. Are you the thief man? Are you the Yoruba man? Are you the outside class? From wherever you are, all over the world, God is saying, can I have a reasonable service from your life this morning? Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. We just have this 1 minute to say to God, have your way with me. Have your way with me, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, behold our lives on the altar. We are waiting for the consuming fire. Lord, I'm asking that this afternoon, take ownership from now in the name of Jesus Christ. From this afternoon, God, we only wait for your fire. Consume us in the name of Jesus. Consume every strange interest, every wrong ambition, all the things that tied our lives down. Consume them in the name of Jesus. As we lay it on the altar, we are asking you, Father, take it to yourself in the name of Jesus. All the petty projects that we are wasting your grace to do, it comes to a stop from this afternoon in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm holding your hand. That as these men and women, young and old, as they are stepping out to do a reasonable thing, may you look down and find a sweet savor in the name of Jesus. May this become a spreading of the aroma of your glory in the land of the living in the name of Jesus. Lord, Lord, where this will end, we cannot know. But all we are saying is that take the lives. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, unto you. Every moment, every day,